So tonight's shir is dedicated just to Lezecher Nishmas Yosef Ben Rachmiel and Nitzan Ahuva Bas Baruch Hirsch by Dr. Bruce Francis. What I'm here to speak to you about tonight is where do we go from here? What does that mean, where do we go from here? So when I was in ninth grade, down the block in MTA, Rav Yitzchak Cohen Shlita, remember he made a comment to us as we were getting ready for Yom Kippur. And he said that everyone asks each other, like the day after Yom Kippur, how was Yom Kippur? How was Yom Kippur? You know, a couple days, how was Yom Kippur? And he said, that's the wrong time to ask how Yom Kippur was. He said, you should ask how was a person's Yom Kippur when? Purim time. Purim time you should ask how Yom Kippur was. You don't ask how Yom Kippur was right away. To really see the after effects of Yom Kippur, you have to see months later. That which you tried to accomplish during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva, that what you tried to accomplish on your Yom Kippur, did it stay with you? Did it not stay with you? Is it something that was long-lasting? Or is it something that was fleeting? And what I want to talk about tonight is to try and understand what are we supposed to get out of Yom Kippur. I understand, obviously, there's one thing that's very obvious we're supposed to be getting out of Yom Kippur. What? L'davar Hashem Ori V'Yishi, God is my salvation. Yom Kippur is a day of salvation. Because we go into Yom Kippur, right, meluchluch, totally stained with the effect of chait. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'chvodo v'atzmo, with tremendous rachamim, he cleans us, right? L'fnei Hashem Titaru. However, is that the only after effect of Yom Kippur? Meaning if you go through the year and nothing bad happens to you, and Baruch Hashem, maybe some nice things happen to you, that meant it was a good Yom Kippur? Is that shot in a bad Yom Kippur or a good Yom Kippur? Or is there something else that we can walk away with from? And I think the answer really has to do with the memra of Rabbi Akiva. The famous memra, the Mishnah at the end of Yomah, Amr Rabbi Akiva. Ashreichem Yisrael, lefnei mi atem mitar mi mitar eschem, avichem shabashamayim. So, it's a famous question that many ask, that what's the greatness that Rabbi Akiva is sharing with us? Ashreichem Yisrael, you're so fortunate, right? What are you fortunate of? For Elamai, what are you so fortunate about? Lefnei Hashem titaru? In front of whom are you supposed to be mitar yourself? Who's going to be mitar you if not the Ribono Shel Olam? Right? Obviously, Slicha Mechila Kapara Tahara is granted by the Ribono Shel Olam. What's Rabbi Akiva Seichem? Ashreichem Yisrael, you're so fortunate. So I think the answer to this question really is the essence of Yom Kippur, and I think it's really the transition that's supposed to be taking place during the Aseres Yemei Tshuva. We know that Rosh Hashanah, the Ramban tells us, the famous Ramban in Vayikra, is Yom Din Birachamim. The Ofi, the nature of the day of Rosh Hashanah, it's a day of judgment, it's a day of Gevura with a dose of Rachamim added in. But what's Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur is a Yom Rachamim Bedin. Yom Kippur is a day of mercy with some judgment injected in. So what's going on? What's the difference? How do we transition from a Yom Din Berachamim to Yom Rachamim Bedin? So I want to tell you a story. Right, pulpit rabbis, we use stories a lot. The rule is that the Dvar Torah, you can use the next year. But a story, you have to wait like 4 or 5 years to use a story again. But there's really an amazing story. I just used it Rosh Hashanah about Rav Eli Lopian, the famed Mashgiach from Kfar Hasidim, from England, who started, of course, in Eastern Europe. The mice is that he comes to Kfar Hasidim. He was walking to Yeshiva one day, and he sees that there are two people, part of a crew, that are paving the road in Kfar Hasidim. They're paving the road in Kfar Hasidim. And he notices that the two of these fellows are people he knew from before the war in Europe. He left Eastern Europe in the late 20s to go to England. But these were people that he knew from the Alter Heim. And he runs up to the first guy, says, Shalom Aleichem, Rabbi Yid. The guy sees him, and they embrace rebellion. And he says, how are you? He goes, miserable. I'm miserable. I survived the Shoah for what? That here I am, slaving like a behemachaya, schwitzing all day with the tar, with the rocks, with the dirt. This is what I survived for? Says Reb Elia, this is what I'm doing just so I don't starve. Just so I have a few lira to buy food with. It's ridiculous. My existence is miserable. And Reb Elia, Nebuch, I'm so sorry, gives him brachas. And then what happens? He goes to the other end of the road where another guy that he knew, the other fellow that he knew from before the war, is working on the road. And he says to him, Reb Yid, how are you? And he's expecting the same answer, but this guy says, Baruch Hashem, I'm amazing. He says, you're amazing? He says, I'm great. He says, what's the main, how are we great? What's going on? And he says, look, here I am in Eretz Yisrael. All day long, what am I doing? I'm doing chesed. All day long, I'm paving roads. So women can push their strollers. So people can be pushed in a wheelchair. All day long, the Ribbono Shel Olam has given me the incredible opportunity to do chesed kol hayom. And I'm even paid for it. It's unbelievable. And Reb Elia Lopian, they say this is one of the very few times that he came into the yeshiva in Kfar Hasidim during morning Seder. It wasn't the Rosh Yeshiva, it was the Mashkiach. He gave a clap on the bima. Sorry to startle anyone. Sorry, Zacharia. He gave. It's okay? All right. Mechila. Mochumi, right? Serving Gibber. He gives a clap on the bima and he says, Rabosai, listen up. I just had an unbelievable experience. Two people doing the same exact thing. Two people came from the same place, spending their days doing the same exact thing. And one of them is Mamish in Himmel, he's in heaven. The other is in the Shiva Maduri Gehenna. The other is like in the lowest level of hell. He said, what's the difference? The Mamish doing Oso Adavar. They're doing the same exact thing. What's the difference between the two of them? And he says it's all a question of perspective. How you look at things. That's the difference. That's the difference between these two people. And Rev Elia Lopian, in a different, that's not connected to the story, he didn't say this in yeshiva at the time, but it helps us understand something that Rev Elia Lopian taught about Yom Noran that I think is the key of going from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. The difference, the change, how one is a Yom Din B'Rachamim, the other is Yom Rachamim B'Din. And what is it? We know after the Tekiyas, in Rosh Hashanah, what tefillah do we say? In Chazar Sashatz, or even Belachash, if you hear Belachash, say Hayom Haras Olam. What do we say in Hayom Haras Olam? There are two possibilities. Im Kivanim, Im Ka'avadim. Im Kivanim, Rachamenu Kirachem of Albonim, Im Ka'avadim, Einenu L'chotluyos. Right? So Rav Elia Lopian asks, who decides whether it's Im Kivanim, it's Im Ka'avadim? Who decides? We said this tefillah, Im Kivanim, who makes a decision? And you know what he says? He says, we do. We make the decision if we're Kivanim or if we're Ka'avadim. How? Based upon how we see the Ribbono Shel Olam. How do you view the Ribbono Shel Olam? That's what he said. The Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem Tzilchal Yad Yeminecha. We know famous Mamorim about this. Many, many great stories. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats you the way you treat other people. That's why going into Yom Kippur tomorrow, we'll all say Tefillah Zaka, right? Asking for Mechila. But one of the major Nekudas in Tefillah Zaka is what do you do before you go into Yom Kippur? You're Mochel everyone. Why? You don't want anyone being punished on your Cheshbon. Why? If no one's going to be punished on your cheshbon, if you don't hold anything against anyone, so you hope Hashem tilcha yadi minecha, Hashem will do what you do, Hashem treats you the way you treat others, so Hashem will be mochel you for everything, just like you mocheled everyone else. So if El Lopian says, im kivanim im kavadim, depends on us, why dafke after the shofar, that's another time of Avram Shor. In his Sefer, Yom Noran has a beautiful Torah, what's the secret of Shofar? How Shofar, Dafke, is what's supposed to help us, but I want to take a little bit of a different perspective tonight as to how do we make the shift? That on Rosh Hashanah, we go into Rosh Hashanah with a pachad, we go into Rosh Hashanah with HaMelech, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu as king, It's a Yom Din, there's Rachamim from the Melech. But over the Aseres Yimei Tshuva, there's supposed to be this evolution in terms of the relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, that you're supposed to come, when it comes to Kol Nidre, when it comes to Yom Kippur, you're supposed to recognize that Hashem is Avinu Shebashamayim. And that's what Rabbi Akiva is telling us. Rabbi Akiva tells us that there are different levels of tshuva. There are different levels of repentance. And what Rabbi Akiva is telling us, the secret of Rabbi Akiva, is that there's one level, Rav Soloveitchik, the Rav speaks about this, everyone speaks about this. The Nachas Binyamin Tzorotzkin has a beautiful Torah, how we understand this. But the idea is, we know that there's kapara and there's tara. What is kapara? Kapara is atonement. The Rav referred to it as acquittal. What does acquittal mean? What is it? What's it mashma? What does it imply? That you sinned, right? You committed a crime. Every chait is committing a crime. So if you committed a crime, right, the king has a punishment that you're supposed to be getting. So if you don't want that punishment from the king, if you want the king, right, to forgo and not to punish you, so what do you have to do? You have to gauge in process. You have to demonstrate remorse. You have to show the Ribono Shel Olam that you're sorry for it. You have to engage in a level of tshuva, but that level of tshuva is known as kapara. Others refer to it as tshuva miyira, tshuva out of fear, right? That you're not coming out of an intense love for the Ribono Shel Olam, you're afraid of being punished. And you'll say al chait, and you'll say vidui, and you'll be makir es al emes, that you're really at fault. And you'll do an ernst tshuva. You'll do an emes de tshuva. But it's a tshuva of kapara. It's a tshuva of acquittal. And that's the most you can get from whom? From a king. That's the most you can get from a king. The most you can get from a king is tshuva of kapara, acquittal, atonement. That the king will say, you know what? I don't hold it against you. I'm going to wipe away your sin. You're not going to deserve any punishment anymore. I'll make it as if you didn't do it. But Rabbi Akiva is telling us that there's a totally different level of tshuva. There's something else referred to as tshuva me'ahava. That's a tshuva not based on a fear of being punished. That's a tshuva based on what? On his desire to experience a close relationship. The desire to experience a close relationship, Rabbi Akiva is telling us, is not when we see the Ribono Shel Olam as a melech, but when we see the Ribono Shel Olam as an av. And that's what he's saying. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Ashreichem Yisrael lefnei mi atem mitar mi mitar eschem? What's the answer? Who? Avichem Shabashamayim. It's not only a melech, and it comes at the end of Maseches Yuma, and this is the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Tshuva Perek Yud. When the Rambam talks about what a real relationship with God is like, when he talks about Tshuva Me'ahava. And this is ultimately at the end of the process where we're supposed to be. That's what Rabbi Akiva is saying. Ashreichem Yisrael lefnei avichem shebashamayim. And that's why the Tshuva of a Tara, the Nachas Binyamin Rav Sorotzkin points out, is very often couched in terms of a rebirth. Lev tahar brali Elokim v'ruach nachon chadesh bekirbi. Right? There are many, many psukim. When we talk about this concept of tahara, it's an expression of birth, an expression of coming again, being recreated. Who recreates you? A king doesn't recreate you. You're created by your father. By an av. And that's what Rabbi Akiva is telling us. Ashreichem Yisrael lefnei mi atem mitar mi mitar eschem avichem shabashamayim. When we talk about what we're supposed to walk away with from Yom Kippur, what are we supposed to walk away with? We're supposed to walk away with a deep relationship of love of Hashem as an av. And this has many, many different ramifications. It has many, many different implications. First and foremost, in terms of our whole approach to Torah and mitzvahs, the whole approach to Torah and mitzvahs, do we recognize what a treasure it is? Do we recognize what a bracha it is? So often we think of Torah mitzvahs as obligations, as chiv, is it a chiv, is it a kiyum, and we talk of it this way in terms of halachic terminology, and I get it. But do you understand what a treasure it is? There was an unbelievable maaser with Rav Chaim Kreisworth, Zatzal, the Rosh Hashiva of Merkez HaTorah in Yerushalayim. He was the Rav in Antwerp. He was a Gon Otzim, a Baki B'Shas, Kala Torah Kula. Skokie, he was in Skokie once upon a time. Really? I didn't even know that before. Wow. Really? Thank you, Rabbi Hoffman. That's a great idea. Rabbi Hoffman, it's always an honor. Shkoyach. So that Rav Kreisworth, that was in Skokie, what point? Before Antwerp? Oh, so before anything. Before anything. Oh, so this makes the story more understandable, Rabbi Hoffman. Thank you very much. So what happened was that it's a Peledic story during the Shoah. Almost his whole yeshiva was wiped out. He wasn't. Unbelievable story how he was saved, how mamish crazy, nisim in the flows. But ultimately, he wound up in a concentration camp. He wound up in a concentration camp. And one day, in the morning, when they're going out to roll call, an elderly person, an older fellow, not an old man, but an older fellow, comes up to him and says, "Listen, I need a favor. Chaim, I know you have a great memory. I know you're a bright kid. I'm not making it through the day. I'm not making it through the day. I know, trust me, I'm not surviving to the end of this day." He did, and in the ma'isa that I heard, he didn't say whether it was a dream, a premonition, whatever it was. The guy just came up to him and said, "I'm not making it to the end of the day. I want you to know that I saw the handwriting on the wall. Not early enough to leave, but I saw the handwriting on the wall to know the Nazis were coming. I sold off all my assets, everything. I liquidated everything, and I put the cash in a Swiss bank account. Since I was separated from my wife and children, I've been somehow looking to find them, to send a message to them. Do me a favor. I'm not surviving today. I want to tell you the name of the bank in Switzerland, and I want to tell you the account number. No pens to write it down, no paper. I know you're bright. Memorize it, and do me the greatest favor in the world. Try and find my children. Try and find my wife. If anyone survived, this is their Yerusha. Please give it to them." So Rav Chaim Kreisworth is blown up. No, trying to give the guy chizuk. You know, let's see. We don't know. May I nyapo esri? He said, "Just listen to me. Told him the name of the bank. Told him the account number." And what happens is that later that day, Rav Chaim Kreisworth, then a yeshiva bachar age, probably your age, probably younger than most of the people here, was coming back into the camp, and he gets to the barracks. He says, what happened to that older person? The person that he had known from before the war, he said, he didn't make it. Collapsed while working. A Nazi guard just shot him on the spot. You know, he was taken, his body's gone. Sir Chaim Kreisworth really felt an achrayus, really felt, you know, I have to do this. And what happens is, he survives, he gets to DP camps, and he spends weeks, months, he said for years, he was looking for one of the Yarsha. He asked people from the town that knew the family. He heard that the wife, Rahman, and some of the younger children were killed, but there were evidently people didn't know about some of the older kids in this family. Some of them already were older than Rav Chaim Kreisworth at that time. What happened to them? And he was looking and looking, no luck. So the story goes that almost three decades later, I guess in the interim, he went to Skokie Rav Hoffman, but when he was in Eretz Yisrael, I think it was in the 70s, that he's davening in a shtibel in Yerushalayim. He's waiting for Mincha to start. He has the sefer open, and in comes a shnar, as they do around the shtibel achan mei sharim, and going around stuka. And Rav Kreisworth looks up at the guy, and he says to him, "You look familiar. What's your name?" He tells him his name. Rav Chaim Kreisworth goes, "Where are you from?" He says, "Oh, I'm from Yerushalayim." He says, "Originally, you weren't born in Yerushalayim." He says, "No, I was from Europe." He says, "Where?" He tells him. He says, "What were the name of your parents?" He tells him the name. Chaim Kreisworth says, "I've been looking for you for almost 30 years. I have your Yerusha. The guy says, yeah, my what? I'm begging in the streets of Yerushalayim. What do you mean? He goes, there's a Swiss bank account with your name on it, literally. The guy goes, what are you talking about? You're crazy. He says, I'm telling you, I was in a concentration camp with your father. He knew I had a good memory. He came up to me one day, just said, listen, I'm not making it. I could tell you what day your father's yahrzeit is. He was killed that day. And he gave me the name of a bank in Switzerland. He gave me the account number in that bank. This is your Yerusha. Go get it. He said, Rabid, I don't have money to pay Eged bus fare. You know, like, I'm getting on a bus. I'm getting on a plane to go to Switzerland. I don't have money for that. I don't have the money myself. I'll raise the money for you. I'll take loans. I'm sure your father has enough to pay for the flights and back. So the guy goes, okay. He takes Rav Chaim Kreisworth's word for it. Rav Chaim Kreisworth helps him raise money for the flight. He goes to Switzerland. He comes back. He goes to meet Rav Chaim Kreisworth and to pay him back. He said, you probably want to know how much was in the account. He said, look, you want to share with me? I'm not going to ask. He said, $30 million. Mamish, in the mid-70s, $30 million. That's a lot of money. Yeah, that's a lot of money. It's a lot of money today. It was a lot of money almost 40 years ago. Even more money 40 years ago. $30 million. Rav Chaim Kreisworth, next time he was in Merkaz HaTorah, he gave a shmuz. He said, do you understand? Tell me. Was this guy all those years, was he an usher or was he an ani? Was he rich or was he poor? What would you say? You would say?
Probably an ani.
You would say, oh, Zachary, excellent. Excellent. Why? Why is he an ani? Right. Well, or Rav Kreisworth, right? Rav Kreisworth gave the message to the son. But until the son got the message, the guy was begging for pittance, for your agrot. Can you imagine? Rav Chaim Kreisworth says, if you don't know about your riches, you don't access them, you're dachanani. And Rav Kreisworth said, he said, what about us? He said, what about us? Do we know the riches we have? Do we believe Ashreinu Matov Chalkeinu Manon Garaleinu? Do we believe the value of a mitzvah? Do we believe the value of a word of Talmud Torah? Right, the famous story when the Granat, the governor of Naftali Trump, was ill, and they came to the Chafetz Chaim, that they're going to the big Rabbanim and Tzaddikim, this one's going to daven for him for 30 hours, this is going to learn for him for 3 days. Chafetz Chaim said, I'll give you a minute of my Torah learning. Give you a minute. And evidently, one of the Talmidim, like, you cheapskate, like, okay, I'm not asking for money, just give me some of your Torah. Like a look, like a minute. The Chafetz Chaim says, from a look on your face, it's clear you don't understand the value of a minute. Because we know the Chafetz Chaim timed it. In Torah Sabbais, he brings down, how many words of Torah can a person speak in a minute? How many? Chafetz Chaim writes, you speak quick, you can speak 200 words of Torah in a minute. We know the Gra says, Talmud Torah Keneged Kula means mamish. Means mamish. So what's 200 times 613? Some of you math guys, any math guys in here? Someone with a computer, right? What's 200 times 613? It's a lot, okay? I don't know a lot, but I know it's a lot. The Chafetz Chaim said, do you know how many mitzvahs you can get in a 1 minute of Talmud Torah? It's unbelievable. So if Kreisworth told his Talmud in Merkaz, he says, do you guys understand? Are you an ani or an asher? It's not much the same thing that Rav Elie Lopian was saying. What are you? Are you rich or are you poor? It all depends on you. It depends on your perspective. It depends on how you look at it. There are people, Rahman al-Islam, they look at Torah mitzvahs as a burden that they have to bear. Or do you understand that what really is Torah mitzvahs? Torah and mitzvahs are given to you by Ava Rachamon, by your father who loves you, and Hashem should bless you. When your parents, you'll understand that you want nothing more than what's best for your children. You want nothing more than your child's happiness. So do you know what Torah mitzvahs are? Torah mitzvahs were given to us by the Ribbono Shalom, by Avinu Shebishamayim, so we could have the greatest life imaginable here. Ashreinu matov chalkeinu manom gorleinu mayofa Yerushaseinu. It's our Yerusha, banim lamakom. And that's where Rabbi Akiva is telling us. To achieve the level of Tahara Tshuva, it's only if you come to understand the Ribono Shel Olam as an Av, not as a Melech. The Melech can pater you from an Onish, but the king doesn't care to have a relationship with you. Right? Anu Avdecha V'atam Malkeinu. The king doesn't care about you. But when it's Anu Banecha V'atam Avinu, it's a totally different story. It's a totally different story. So how do we come to this? How do we come to change this perspective? How do we come to appreciate this different relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam, not as a melech, but as an av? So this Peah Shabbos, I'm not going to give you my whole Shabbos Shuvah Drasha, don't worry. That would take up all the time plus. But we know the Navi Hosea tells us from the Haftorah, Kichui Machem Devarim Vishuvu El Hashem. Right? The pasuk before, what does it say? What's the opening pasuk in the Haftorah? Shuva? Shuva Yisrael? Ad Hashem Elokecha. And Rav, who was it? Rav Rivlin, any KBY guys, Rav Rivlin, from the Mashkiach, from Karen B'Yavne, and his Sefer on Haftorahs, he points out from the Malbim, and he brings down from Rav Goldvich Zatzal, the Rosh Hashiva of Karen B'Yavne, Chaim Yaakov Goldvich Zatzal, in one of his farm points out that why isn't the first pasuk is Shuv Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha, and the next thing is Kichui Machem Devarim Vishuvu El Hashem. So the Malbim points out that Hosea is talking about two different types of tshuva. There's a tshuva that brings you Ad Hashem up until God. What tshuva is that? That's tshuva Meira. But Kichui Machem Devarim Vishuvu El Hashem, there's a tshuva me'ava that brings you El Hashem mamish to God. But what is the prerequisite for the tshuva of El Hashem? Kichui machem dvar. The big machlokis is what dvarim are we talking about? What dvarim are we talking about? And there are many, many different shatim. If you look, the Sefer Karim seems to imply that it's vidui. And Pasha Pshat from Hosea earlier on, Perakei, Pasuk Tezai, it implies that it's vidui. The end of that pasuk, what's the end of the pasuk of Kichui Machem Dvarim Veshuva El Hashem? What is it? What are the last words in that pasuk? Come on, anyone taking Bible? Tresar, the minor prophets? No? No? It's Unishalma Farim Sifaseinu. What's that the makar for? Tefillah. So there are those that say Kichui Machem Dvarim is Tefillah. There's a fascinating pshat from Rav Meilich Biederman. I don't know how many of you are aware of Meilich Biederman, the great Chassidus HaMashpia in Eretz Yisrael. His Torah is fire, amazing, amazing stuff. Rav Meilich Biederman, he has an interesting pshat that it's Devarim of Chesed, Diburim Shal Chesed. But you know what Rav Chaim Volozhiner says? Well, obviously, what do you think Rav Chaim Volozhiner says? Kichui Machem Devarim is. I'll tell you, it's in Shar Hei, in Shar Dalet, it's Talmud Torah. Kichui Machem Devarim, Periklamet Aleph, Periklamet Beis, he talks about it till the end of Shar Dalet. He says, Kichu Imachem Devarim is Talmud Torah. And the Nachlas Ben Yomin Rav Sirotskin, he says, Pasha Pshat, that's what it is. When Rabbi Akiva is saying, Ashreichem Yisrael, Lefnei Mi'atem Etar, Mi'atar Esam, Avichem Shabashamayim, how do you come to a level of Tahara? What's the difference? What more do you need for Tahara above Kapara? What's the difference? Meaning the Rambam gives us the steps of Tshuva, Charata, Zivasachet, Vidui, Kabbalah la'asid. So what does that get you? Does that get you kapara or does that get you tara? Which one? So Rav Binyamin Sirotskin says, it depends whether or not you learn Torah also. He says, Talmud Torah brings to real tshuva ma'ahava. That's where you come to the level of Hashem as an av, and you come to that. Where do we see Torah is associated with HaKadosh Baruch Hu? On the level of Av, you all said it twice today, you're going to say it a third time. Right? Hashivenu, Avinu, to what? L'sorasecha. When we ask Hashem to bring us back to Torah, we appeal to the Ribono Shel Olam on the level of Banim Lamakom. Hashivenu, Avinu, L'sorasecha. we come to the Ribono Shel Olam as an av to bring us Torah. Right? Shema b'ni Musar avicha v'al titosh Torah simecha. When you view the Ribono Shel Olam begeder as horim, when you understand the Ribono Shel Olam loves you and cares about you, and that's when you come through Talmud Torah. That's the ability of Talmud Torah to bring a person close. That's what it means. The famous Medrash Eicha Rabasi and other places, Ha'or Shabo Machazirim Lamutav. By learning Torah, there's a segula property to Talmud Torah that when you're really doing it, it brings a person back. It has that ability to bring a person back. And that's what Rabbi Akiva is talking about. And that's what the Rambam talks about in the 10th parak when he talks about Tshuva Me'ahava. The way Rav Lachman Shlita always explains it. What does it mean, Avas Hashem Ka'avas Aisha? Right? What does Rav Lachman know? Talmud, you remember what he explains it as? Rav Lachman, at least what I heard from him a number of years ago, doesn't only mean that you're thinking about her all the time, that you're obsessed with her. He says that if you ask me my wife's opinion on something, I'll be able to tell you what she'll say about it 90% of the time. He said, because I know my wife so well. I understand her. I know how she thinks. I know her opinions. Saying Avas Hashem Ka'avas Aisha means, when the Rambam compares the two, it means that you come to know the Ribono Shel Olam via understanding the Ribono Shel Olam. Come to think like the Ribono Shel Olam, Kaviyochel, obviously. Kaviyochel. But this comes on Yom Kippur. This is what we're supposed to be attempting to get to. And that's what it does mean. Where do we go from here? When you ask a person, how was your Yom Kippur? I don't care how you fast. I mean, of course, right away, say, did you pass out? Did you need smelling salts, you know? Were you chalishing? Were you able to daven nila? Did you stand for nila? You know, are you okay physically? But how was your Yom Kippur? To really answer that? You ask the person Purim time. One time, Taka, when I was a Rebbe in Eretz Yisrael, had a very lively Purim Suda. A Talmud of mine leaned into me, got very close to me, said, Rebbe, how is your Yom Kippur? I looked at him, I said, Zalman, what are you talking about? I have no idea what you're saying. He's like, Rebbe, how is your Yom Kippur? I said, what are you talking about? He said, you told us to us 2 days before Yom Kippur to ask you on Purim. Now you don't remember? I said, oh, Rebbe Yitzchak Cohen, right, I'm sorry. Right? But to see, do you really feel it? Then? Why Dafka did, again, you have to ask Rav Cohen Shlita. Why did he say Dafka Purim? I can make the connection. Why Dafka on Purim? You see, did the person really experience Yom Kippur properly? You know, when you're crying on Purim, is it because you love Torah so much? Because you're venting certain other unhealthy things that only come out when Yayin goes in? But this idea helps us explain, if this is really what we're supposed to get from Yom Kippur, that was supposed to come out from Yom Kippur, recognizing that banim lamakom, that we're children of the Ribono Shel Olam, that we're in this not because we want the great reward, not because, you know, we want olam haba, but we want it l'shma, for the Ribono Shel Olam's sake, l'man shemo be'ahava, for his name's sake, with love, then mamash, we understand beautifully what comes right after Yom Kippur. Because what comes right after Yom Kippur? Right away, Sukkos, right? What Sukkos represent, right? You all remember this, I hope. Why is Sukkos in the fall? Why is it on Tes Vav Tishrei? And don't tell me because of the weather, right? The answer of that Achron is a great answer, but personally, having lived in Eretz Yisrael, you know what's the best weather of the year? Nice Sukkos weather is the best weather of the year. And the Torah, we know from the Ramban, we know from the Gemara and Ksubos, was meant to be kept in Eretz Yisrael. So don't tell me that the reason why Sukkos is in the fall, not in the spring, so it's mukach, that we're sitting in the booths only for the sake of the mitzvah, because otherwise it's too cold. That sounds like someone who's living in Poland, right? When the Aruch HaShulchan talks about snow on top of the sukkah. Well, I remember one time I was giving a shir in the shul, talking about the shayla, it's a pelish, snow on top of your sukkah, is it a problem? Is it maybe next year? You know, next year Sukkos is 3 weeks later. Is it a problem? And I remember saying, like, you know, it's like an interesting idea, theoretically. One of the people in my shul, a really great tzaddik, Mr. Saul Einhorn, he was a special, special tzaddik. for 3 years in concentration camps. He put on tefillin every day, told me, until he was moved from one camp to another, and he lost it in transit. An unbelievable person. Whenever I saw him with free time, he was learning, and I'd say, Mr. Einhorn, you know, I'm the rabbi, you're putting me to shame, you're a masmid. And his response was, Rabbi, I have to make up for all the time Hitler stole. He took away my years, I was supposed to be in yeshiva. I mean, that was Musar, any time. But Mr. Einhorn came up to me after the shiur, said, Rabbi, I didn't want to contradict you during your shiur, but it was Meisim B'chol Shana that there was snow on top of our sukkah in Poland. Said, every year we had this, right? But we know in Eretz Yisrael, it's the most beautiful weather. So why do we have sukkahs in Tishrei? Why is it Tesvav Tishrei? What does the Gra explain? What happened on Tesvav Tishrei? Chevra. What? The Anane HaKavod came back. Right? That's what it was. Do you ever wonder why Dafka Sukkis, it's so important to know the reason for this? And so much so that some Achronim say, when you're making Kiddush in the Sukkah, you should be Mechavim to the Anane HaKavod? Because that's how we paskin, not Sukkos Mamish, we paskin Anane HaKavod? And you think, what do you mean? What do you mean we paskin on this? What's the machlokas? Or the Akiva of Lezer, we paskin, Anone Yaakov, Sukkos Mamish, what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina, according to some achronim, is when you're sitting in the sukkah and you're making the bracha of Leishev Basukkah, you should have in mind Anone Yaakov. Why? Why? Why are you really supposed to remember the reason for this mitzvah? Because think about what happened. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down with Lucho Shnios on Yom Kippur, right? Salachti kidvarech. Your tshuva was accepted. But what happened? The Anane HaKavod didn't come back yet. When did the Anane HaKavod leave? Chet HaEgel. No, Chevra? Just late at night. You've been learning Torah all day. You're so wiped out. Torah's Mateshes Koch Shel Adam. You know, I'm not a little rabbi. I don't have time to learn. I was running around all day. But what does it mean? Right? What's pshat? That the Anone HaKavod weren't there. If Salachti Kivarecha Moshe, if you brought us Lucho Shnios, I don't get it. Where are the Anone HaKavod? The Anone HaKavod that demonstrated the Avas Kilo Sayich Lechtech Achrei Bamidbar Be'eretz Lo Zerua, the Anone HaKavod that rewarded the intense love that we had for the Ribbono Shel Olam when we left Egypt, that centuries later the Nevi'im speak about, that Hashem still remembers, Zacharti Lachesen Uroich, Avos Kol Osayich, where were the Anone HaKavod? And Moshe says, don't worry, patience, Hashem forgave you. How did He forgive us? How do we know He really forgave us? And it was only until, what did they start doing? They started the Meleches HaMishkan. When they started the Meleches HaMishkan, Tesvav Tishrei, that's when the Anone HaKavod came back. That's a symbol of Ahavas Hashem Osara. It's a symbol of Hashem's love for us. And that's why, you know, the famous saying that all Elul is Achana for Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is Achana for Aser Simitshuva. Aser Simitshuva is Achana for Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is all Achana for Nila. Nila is really all Achana for Sukkis. Sukkis is Achana for Shana Rabbah. Shana Rabbah is Achana for Simchas Torah. They say B'Shem the Gaon. The Gaon. It's called B'Shem the Gaon, not a Chassidish Rebbe. I can tell you many Chassidish Rebbes who say the same thing. But they quote B'Shem the Gaon, that a person can accomplish more with their Simcha, or just as much. Right? Chassidim probably say more. The Gaon said you can accomplish just as much with your Simcha and Simchas Torah as you could with your tears on Yom Kippur. When you're pleading for your life. Can you imagine? What does that mean, that it's all Hachana for Simchas Torah? Meaning, if you learned the whole lesson of El of Anilu Do Di V'Do Di Li, as we spoke a few weeks ago in Yeshiva, if you understood the true Samelech, right? As Bilam tells us, that how close we were with the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? Some of the psukim of Truas Melech Bo, Aser Simei Tshuva, you feel the Yom Racham and Bedin of the Yom Kippur, you feel Ne'ila, when what's Ne'ila? Ne'ila is not pshat, the gates are being locked against you, keeping you out. What's Ne'ila? When you go alone with the Ribbono Shel Olam into the room and the door is locked behind you, and it's just you and the Ribbono Shel Olam. Feeling the embrace of God. And then you come to a sukkah, Teshuva. Everything you do is a mitzvah. Hashem is saying anything you do for these 7 days in this booth is a mitzvah. Go to sleep, it's a mitzvah. I know, Shiloh, do you say bracha? Do you not say bracha? Go to sleep, it's a mitzvah. Have a drink, it's a mitzvah. Your friend comes over to shmooze. You do it in the sukkah, it's a mitzvah. Teishu kein tadur, it's an amazing thing. And then you come to Simchas Torah. Do you have the Simcha and Simchas Torah? They say that about the Chazon Ish. When the Chazon Ish was in Europe, he was toiling in obscurity. People did not know who the Chazon Ish was. It was only when he went there to, I mean, Chaim Moser knew who he was. They wrote tshuvas back and forth to each other. And Rav Chaim Moser gave the Chazon Ish the letter when he went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ari Olam in Bovel, to go to Eretz Yisrael. But the people who remembered him back from when, they said, you know when we knew something was unique about this guy, something was different? One day a year. What day? Simchas Torah. They thought he was a stam shopkeeper. They didn't know who he was, the Chazon Ish. They saw how he danced on Simchas Torah. They said, there's something special about this guy. There's something unique about this guy. That he has such an avas HaTorah. He has such an avas Hashem. And that's what it means. Where we go from here, as one of my brothers always says in his pre-Ne'ilah Drasha, says, this is just the beginning. Ne'ilah is not the climax, the spiritual climax of the year. Ne'ilah is supposed to be the rocket fuel that propels you forward through the entire year. Ne'ilah is just the beginning, Chevra. And I want to end with just one more idea. One more idea to take away with, because I've said it in my shul so often, and it's something I really believe. You have to have one Kabbalah and Talmud Torah when you leave Yom Kippur. When you're starting your year, you have to have one Kabbalah, something new. Doesn't have to be big, a Mishnah a day. 2 minutes of Nach a day. Most guys can use that, right? I'm just getting to that now. Whenever there's homework help with Chumash, I can answer. When they have questions of Nach, go ask your mother. Go ask your mother. Don't ask me. Go ask your mother for Navi homework, right? But you need one Kabbalah when you leave Yom Kippur in Talmud Torah, that you're going to do something special. Why? Because we said, when Moshe came down, Salachti Kidvarecha, that the Jewish people were forgiven, Hashem's going to restore the relationship, resurrect it. What did Moshe give them? He came down with the Torah Kedoshah. He came down with the Luch HaShmios, we forget it. The Nachlas Ben Yomin points out, if you wanted a complete tshuva of tahara, a tshuva of closeness, it has to be through an increased commitment to something in Talmud Torah. You have to accept upon yourself, I'm going to do a little bit more. When I'm ready to go to sleep, I'm going to spend 2 minutes a night. You know, not a big Kabbalist. Big Kabbalists very often don't stay. And you have to be very big people to have big Kabbalists. I'm a small person. Little things that when I'm done for the day, before I go to sleep, I'll learn for 2 minutes. Before my main meal of the day, before lunch, I'll open a sefer for a minute. And you know, Baruch Hashem, in today's day and age, you don't even need a sefer. You just need this. You know, Vlacht Chavaderech, whatever app you want, whatever apps you have, you just need your phone. And you can learn. But it has to be something in Talmud Torah. Because Talmud Torah has the segula to enable you to feel the closeness. That's what we really want out of Yom Kippur. Of course we want Slicha, Mechila, Kapar, we want all of those. But more than anything else, we want, once again, to feel Hashem's love for us and to feel the closeness. And if you work, and tonight, oh, it's already Erev Yom Kippur, so already now, the machlokes, whether or not there's a mitzvah, nachila shti already halayla, you know, to be machmir, right? Be machmir. I don't know if there's a brisker chumra, but it's certainly Marcus chumra, you know, to be machmir, to eat. It's my father, it's allowed to laugh about me. That's good. But, you know, we chumra that you already start eating tonight, but there's still time. There's still time to make the most of it. There's still opportunity to feel the closeness to the Ribbono Shel Olam. And Be'ezer Hashem, Lefnei Hashem, Tataru. When you mamish come El Hashem, and you come close, and you feel Avas Hashem Son, then that's just the beginning. And when we dare go from there, is a deeper, more meaningful, more loving relationship with your Ribbono Shel Olam. I give a blessing to all of you. hope you give to me. We should really bless each other. That Hashem should open our hearts to be able to have this kind of a tshuva, to have this kind of relationship with Him, and this kind of relationship with each other. Shkoyach, gemar chesima tova to everyone. Gemar chesima tova.